State Rep Julie Alexander joins us this morning. Julie, good morning.
Good morning, Greg.
Hey, a lot of stuff to talk about, but I want to pick up where kind of we left off yesterday. We had Northwest Superintendent Jeff Bontrager on for quite a while, and when you look at the budget, it's got to be scary.
It is. It's very concerning because of the impact on our children and their educational process. Well, there's no sense in guessing, right? We need to, at least for this year's school calendar, we need to see what those actual dollars are. The good news is those revenue estimating conferences are taking place today, mm-hmm. so we should have some actual numbers that we know we're working with so that we can address this issue very soon.
And so many issues, busing, extracurriculars, athletics, one after the other.
It is, and interestingly enough, I'm creating a letter to shoot off to the superintendents and asking them to share it with their administrators, share it with their teachers, share it with their parents and family members, because ultimately, I believe some of the solutions will come from us within the community. It does not have to be a state dictated or a mandate coming from above, down below, to what each local community deems best for their district to move forward. You know, I have the feeling when I ask what regulations, what policies, what laws need to be modified to allow you as a local school district to be successful. Tell me what these changes will look like so that we can ensure our students and our staff are safe and healthy while maintaining that solid education. I have the feeling the first answer is going to be money. Okay, so after that, what else, what are we looking at that hinders you from that innovation that you see school looking like in the fall? And that's going to be my ask for people, even your listeners. Give me some ideas. Help me to understand what barriers the state has in place that if they were removed would allow you to be more successful.
Yeah, another ancillary issue we talked about yesterday is the additional cleaning of the buildings, just the cost there. So there's another added cost when you're getting far less money, sales tax money.
Absolutely. Now, it is my understanding that with some of the federal money that all, and not just some, but all of our public schools have or will very soon receive, once they put their application in, everyone will receive some additional one-time funding. And the one-time piece is the most important piece, that it's not ongoing, but it will help them. These federal dollars that are coming to our districts will help them navigate through these challenging times. But those extra costs that may be out there could be addressed in some funding like that.
Certainly some districts have a rainy day fund, but not all, and probably not big enough.
Right. When you look at how are schools funded, a variety of sources, revenue, go into funding our schools. So first of all, we have the road fuel tax, and we know that less fuel is being purchased because people aren't simply traveling. So we have that. We have some of the gambling, lottery, and tax revenue that's coming from slot machines. I heard that the daily loss of revenue is in our state of Michigan, the daily loss of revenue that goes directly to our schools, $337,000 a day in lost revenue from slot machines. So we have that loss there. So we have the fuel tax. We know we have less money being generated from income tax because we have so many people that are on unemployment right now that are simply not working, and we have that loss of revenue as well. So it goes on and on where we have the lost revenue, and this isn't going to be just for the school year we're in right now or next year. This is going to be something that it's going to take quite some time to get back on top of it, to put our economy back in place. So we need to be looking at the long-term solutions as well.
So you were involved in a number of committee meetings this week, Julie?
Yeah, the legislature we all were in Lansing on Wednesday, and there were committee hearings. We had sessions, and there were also oversight committee goings on. The oversight committees were looking into, in the Senate, they were looking at DHHS and nursing homes, what's happening there. In the House, we were looking at the Unemployment Insurance Agency and how that is going, what that is looking like for the residents trying to make those claims. In session, we were voting on telemedicine. And again, telemedicine, I have brought this up before on air, simply removes the barriers for people to receive the health care that they need. There are three pieces of the legislation. It would allow for telemedicine to happen in real time or asynchronous. So in other words, you may be videotaping something and your physician would go back and look at it. It also addressed the site in which you are at when you're participating in the telemedicine, and also the remote patient monitoring and the reimbursement. So that was important legislation that we got through in the House. And then finally, in committee hearings, I testified in two different committees on bills that I had. And one of them, I'm excited that we have made progress in regard to my legislation, which allows for local road agencies that are under 100 miles more flexibility in what roads they choose to repair, but also maintains that accountability. So that was one piece of legislation I have introduced that is going through the committee process. And the second committee that I testified in is because of a woman that called, reached out to me about 6 months ago. And I am asking, I have introduced legislation that would modify the licensing requirements for individuals that are requesting that marijuana license. What happened is a woman reached out to me, and she had been a caseworker. She works for DHHS. She's a social worker, works for this department for 10 years in a variety of roles, everything from CPS to ensuring foster kids get placed in the right home, going into the homes and helping family. And she's been doing this for 10 years, and she recently got married. And her husband happens to own the medical marijuana license. And what they came to find out when he went to renew or update his license, that he was going to be denied this license because his wife is a state employee. Now, I understand that we don't want that conflict of interest, and we need to be very cognizant of that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the spouse being an employee of the state, in a manner in which it's not, there's no conflict of interest, I believe we need to add more clarity there. The answer she received from the state was this: quit your job, divorce your husband.
That's silly.
That's what I thought. And I understand that, and I respect the clarity that we need to make sure that the applicants for the marijuana license are not in conflict. We need to be very cognizant of that, no doubt about that. But the bottom line is, now that we have legalized marijuana, both recreational and medicinal, then we need to make sure that our laws are reasonable and we're using some common sense there, so that this woman can continue serving the families that are in need and not have to quit her job or divorce her husband.
Common sense, isn't it?
To me, it was, but again, kudos to those that reach out to me and share information and stories like that. Greg, this was never on my radar until this woman, Ashley, reached out to me. So thank you to Ashley and all of those that continue to reach out to me and say, this is what I'm dealing with. I don't think this is right or fair. And I always respond with, let me do some research. Let me understand why that law is that way. And if slight modifications are needed to these laws, I am more than happy to pursue them and see what we can do so that we're able to move forward in a positive manner.
Julie, can you tell the listeners about your social distancing when you go in for a session, exactly what screenings they do for lawmakers?
Absolutely. So there are 110 representatives that serve in the House. And when we go in, the building, the very first door we enter into the Capitol, we are asked a variety of questions, typical screening questions like you may have in your own business, and or moving forward we'll see more of. Have you been exposed to anyone? Have you been in near contact? Are you showing any symptoms? They also take your temperature and to ensure that no one is running a fever. Most of us entering the building, you know, had the protective masks. So moving forward, we then walk up to the House floor. We log in at our desks for attendance. And then after that, we spread out throughout the entire room. Many of us are able to sit on the House floor. If we are 6 feet apart, we have assigned seating. I personally am able to sit on the House floor and work from my desk, but Rep. Leitner is sent up in the gallery. So she sits next to me on the House floor. She's up in the gallery, and again, social distancing taking place there. And that is one of the reasons the public is not allowed into the House as we move forward and practicing social distancing.
So you'll be back when? This Tuesday, right?
Yes, we have session planned for this Tuesday. I don't know what committees will be held. They're prioritizing, as they should. We need to be looking at what issues need to be moving forward and cognizant of that. But again, kind of, I referred to this a few minutes ago when I mentioned the legislation I had introduced. When I hear from the people I serve, I better understand what those challenges are. Right now, I'm hearing from a lot of individuals that are frustrated with the inability to receive some medical procedures. The list grows of the concerns that people have. I'm hearing from individuals in our community that are frustrated with some of the policies that are mandated through the executive order on nursing homes. And I'm also hearing from individuals their concerns on the budget regarding to the impact on students when it comes to education. But don't assume I know what you know. The easiest way right now to get a hold of me is through my email, especially if it's an unemployment claim you'd like our assistance with. So if you email julialexander@house.mi.gov, that is the fastest and the easiest way for us to help you navigate the overwhelmed unemployment agency. And if I'm not your representative, if by chance you live in Rep. Leitner's district, we are more than happy to forward that on to their team as well. But by emailing us on unemployment issues, that's the fastest way to navigate. But in regard to a variety of other issues, if you want to share your story with me, if you want to share the challenges, I'm happy to take your phone call. My office number is 517-373-1795, and my personal cell phone number is 517-740-9982.
Nursing home issue, really a troubling issue, Julie, not necessarily in Michigan, but even across the country.
Yeah, I hear what the local residents that have reached out to me in regard to nursing homes are simply just concerned about their loved ones.
Sure.
They want to be able to make those welfare checks. The other constituent that reached out to me this week, this one was very disturbing. She has a 91-year-old mother. And this mother, not in the Jackson community, in the southeast Michigan area, but her mother, who is 91, had to be hospitalized for non-COVID related, but she had to be hospitalized for an issue, a medical issue. And this 91-year-old woman doesn't understand why no one can come visit her. She's in the hospital, distance away. No one can come visit her. So her mental state is that which she now believes every single member of her family must be COVID positive, and that's why they can't come to visit her. That is not the case, but she's hard of hearing, so phone calls or FaceTime are a bit of a challenge. And the family's very concerned for her mental health as she navigates everything alone, and she's isolated. Those are the stories I continue to hear.
Yeah, a lot of tough ones there. Julie, appreciate the visit, as always.
Thank you, Greg, and you have a great day.
Take care. State Rep. Julie Alexander.